really hasn't. You're doing very well indeed. Right, it's expat time. Somebody who used to live around here and is now elsewhere in the world. It's Julie. Hello.
Hi, Dean.
It's been a long time since we caught up. In fact, it must be nearly a year. Could it be that long?
It's probably more than that, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was sort of March time last year.
Now, the story... Well, you do your story about how come you wear what you are tonight. You will do it much better than me.
Oh, you're too kind. Well, tonight I'm in a car park, as usual, in Berlin, for a change.
In Berlin?
I'm in Berlin in Germany, yeah. I'm in a motorhome and touring around Europe. We've been going for about 22 months now, myself, my husband, and our pet dog, Charlie.
Now, I'll ask you about you and your husband in a minute, but Charlie the dog is somebody that captures my imagination, because isn't it difficult to move around with dogs? Are there all sort of quarantine restrictions?
There's not. No, he's got his pet passport, and you can take him abroad. As long as he goes to a vet before he comes back to the UK for treatment, it's all fine. He's been to Morocco, Tunisia, he's been all around Europe, and he quite loves it.
Must be the best travelled dog in Europe, I suspect. So, just do your background and how you came to be doing this, because, you know, it sounds like a long time to be away from home, so how did it happen?
It is quite a long time to be away from home, so apologies to all our friends and family. We saved up. We decided we'd get out of the rat race for a year. We saved up our money, and we went travelling, and sort of a couple of months before the year was up, we discovered that because we'd stopped in free car parks and some fairly dodgy places, our money had stretched out. We'd originally budgeted to be in campsites every night, and we haven't done that. We've stopped in some amazing places. We stopped on top of Mount Etna when it was sort of rumbling away and stuff like that. And because these places are free, the money's lasted, so we came home for our MOT and came out again for another year.
Wow. I love the fact you came back for an MOT. You mean the car, the van?
The van came back for an MOT, yeah. That is one of the downsides. We've done sort of two big loops of Europe, if you will.
And did it pass?
It passed its MOT fine, yeah.
Wow.
It did have a full service before it went in. But since we started, we've just done just under 27,000 miles. And it's a 20-year-old van, so it's not doing so bad.
It's doing very well, isn't it? That's doing really well. Yeah. Are you making this trip up as you go along, Julie?
Pretty much, yeah. When we came back to the UK, we for the van's MOT, we sort of hummed and hawed about whether to come back out again. We had the money, and we decided we'll go for it. And we'd gone to Morocco last year in the winter to escape the snow. So this year we set our sights on Tunisia, so we headed down there for the winter, and to go and see my grandfather's war grave, which is over there. So apart from that, that was really one of the few sort of set points that we must go there. Everything else is pretty much on a day-to-day basis. Well, should we go this way, or should we, quite fancy going there for a while, or we've spoken to someone and they said, oh, that place is great, go there. So it's quite nice. I'm looking at the map in front of me, we have it stuck to our table, and it's quite a wiggle.
I bet it is.
We tend to hug the coast a lot, but it's quite a wiggle otherwise.
Can you just describe your surroundings at the moment then? You mentioned you're in Berlin. Are you in the centre of Berlin?
We're not. We're about a 15-minute, what they call S-Bahn, which is a tram ride out of Berlin. So we're just off one of the main motorways, but you can't actually hear it because it's in a tunnel. It's a lovely big motorway stretch in the middle of Berlin. And we're in what's called a Stellplatz. These things have various names around Europe. They're Sosters, they're Stellplatz, they're called Airs. And it's basically a place where motorhomes can go and park, and it's got services that you can get rid of your wastewater and fill up with fresh water. Because generally in a motorhome, you don't need all the facilities that are on a campsite, and campsites cost quite a bit of money. So when we come to a big city, rather than risk leaving the van on the street, we'll park up in a Stellplatz or whatever it's called in the country it's in. And there's about 90 motorhomes in this little area, this little fenced off area.
Now, are these places easy to find? I presume that there's a website dedicated to them, is there, or something like that?
Yeah, there's many websites and guides, and we update our blog every day, and we publish the GPS coordinates saying where we are, always in the sort of first paragraph. So if anybody is planning on doing this, if you have a look at our blog, which is rtour.co.uk, there's a route map on there of where we've been to, and there's also all the GPS coordinates of the various places that we've stopped in free, or like this place. This is €19 a night, so about £17.
For the whole night?
Pretty cheap for two people and a dog in right next to Berlin. I think it's about £3 or £4 to get the tram in and back.
So what's the most remote place you've been to, would you say, Julie?
It's going to have to be the Sahara Desert, I think. We've been
it's pretty remote.
Two parts of it. Pretty remote. We were in Morocco. We were down at Erg Shebi in the Sahara, and then we went to Tunisia. When we went to Tunisia again, we travelled down into the Sahara. And when you're down there, you're sort of thinking, please don't let anything go wrong with the van. But it didn't. It was fine. And, it was brilliant. In Morocco, we slept in it was an area in front of a really posh hotel. With the hotel, us in our motorhomes, camels, sand dunes, and that was it. It was wonderful.
Are you ever greeted with a degree of suspicion, or are you welcomed everywhere you go?
We're generally welcome everywhere we go. In some countries, we've just come up through sort of the Eastern Bloc countries. We've come up through the likes of Ukraine, Romania, and Bulgaria, and it's more a curious stare. People look at you, and we at first thought they're really looking quite angrily, but they're not. They're really staring because it's something they don't see every day. And when you smile and wave back, they're all smiles and waves, and people waving from the fields. So it's really nice, but we're just a bit unusual in some places.
Has there ever been a point where you felt as though you may be in danger or in peril?
No, not really.
Considering you've been away for so long, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a few times when we have slept in really quite dodgy car parks. Just a few nights ago, we were in Poland, and it was a city, and we couldn't find anywhere else to stay, and we looked around, and we're like, ooh. And you have a bit of a sleepless night, but nobody bothered us at all. People don't. We've been parked up on marinas in Spain, and you can hear all this talking outside, and I'm lying there thinking, they're all thinking we'll gang up on that English motorhome and get them. But no, it's all the fishermen just having a chat. They just don't realise that there's people in the van, and they pay absolutely no attention to it.
What an adventure. What an adventure. We'll talk more in just a moment, Julie, but I'm going to play some music now. This is a song that you've requested specifically. Do you want to tell us about this and why you've gone with this song?
Yeah, I think this is going to be the one song that's going to remind me of the whole trip, because it seems to have taken Europe by storm. I don't know how it's gone down in the UK, but it seems to be the one bit of Europop that I can stand, because a lot of it is terrible. We've had some really bad radio stations, and it's just played everywhere over Europe. So I don't know how it did in the UK charts, but it's the one that any time I hear it now, it's going to just remind me of us driving along in the car singing along.
Well, it hasn't done anything, it hasn't charted significantly here, but it is still rumbling on. I suspect that as summer turns to autumn, it might come back for a second wind. Do you want to introduce it?
It's of Monsters and Men and Little Talks.
Old and empty house.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stars creak as you sleep, it's keeping me awake.
It's the house telling you to close your eyes.
And some days I can't even trust myself.
It's good to see you this way. Cause though the truth may not be this, ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Holding me back.
Well, tell her that I miss.
gone, gone, gone away. I wish you'd disappear. All that's left is a ghost of you. Now we're torn, torn, torn apart. There's nothing we can do. Just let me go, we'll meet again soon.
Now wait, wait, wait for me. Please hang around. I'll see you when I fall asleep. Don't listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same. Oh, the truth may be darkness. The chill will carry on. All these things will show. Don't listen to a word.
Ship will carry our bodies safe to shore. Though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our bodies safe to shore.
Oh, just it creeps its way along that ship there. It's a great suggestion. Julie, remind us of who it is and what it is again.
It's of Monsters and Men, and it's called Little Talks.
And is it big all across Europe at the moment?
It just seems to be playing on the radio. It seems to be playing on the radio for absolutely ages. So I don't know if it's big or, like you say, just rumbling along, but just about every country we've been in, it's been on.
It's got that kind of, today. You know the Gautier track, Someone I Used to Know? It's got a bit of that vibe going on.
It has, yeah.
A male-female dialogue.
It's good to sing along with, though.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Right, let's go back to the late night teaser here. Looking for a word that begins with a T, ends with T, and has T right slap bang in the middle. More people going into the Hall of Fame. Rose in Lincoln, congratulations to you. You've got it right. Alan in Belton with 3 correct. Well done. And hi to Mike in East Leek, who says happy birthday. Won't ask how many candles. Best not to, Mike. But good to hear from you, and well done. You are in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Also going in, Sue in Wigston Magna, with a whole list of words there. Found more than I ever dreamt possible. Congratulations to you. And Fred in Bolton is doing likewise. In case you're wondering, he says, we like playing Scrabble. It shows, Fred. Good to hear from you. And one more for now. Dean, I think the word is this. Yes, it is. Say hello to Danny and Wilf and Alan and Joe and Joe and Dave. Well done. You're in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to you. And for the final time then, the question to get into the Hall of Fame is this. Name a word that begins with a T, ends with a T, and has a T right slap bang in the middle. So last time you'll hear the question, the final Hall of Fame in around 5 minutes time. But first back to, I was going to say a car park. That doesn't do it justice on the outskirts of Berlin. What do you call the place again, Julie?
It's called a Stellplatz.
Say it again.
Stellplatz. S-T-E-L-L and then Platz,
P-L-A-T-Z. Stellplatz, well, I'm learning something all the time here. a few people have been in touch to say, was it a big or a tough decision to quit your job to go off and have this adventure?
It was. I won't lie. It was, for me, it was a very difficult decision. My husband had already, he'd handed in his notice and was planning to go contracting. So that's where you just do short-term contracts, 12 months, 6 months. And then we brought forward our departure date. We originally weren't going to leave until after the Olympics, but we brought it forward. Once he'd left to go contracting, it was obviously a lot easier for him. And then for me, I was just like, I think now's the time to go. So we bought a slightly older van because we didn't have quite enough money saved up for one of the flash, shiny, white ones that you see. And, it was very tough to actually hand him a notice and to leave. But, it's probably going to be just as tough to get back as well.
Well, and were there any suggestion that they might keep your job open, or was that just a non-starter of an idea?
There was talk of having a sabbatical for a year, and I'm quite glad I didn't take it now, because, like I say, we've ended up doing 2 years. And
yes.
I think all the time it would have been in my head, I must get back for this date. So it's actually worked out really well, the fact that we did quit our jobs, because it meant we're free, we can go back when we want, we can out until we run out of money, so almost as long as we.
Now Luke's been on the text, he wants to know how many countries in Europe you still have left to visit. Do you know that?
Well, we met a couple who are travelling to every country in Europe. They managed it, and they classed 47 as countries, including principalities and stuff. Mm. We've only done 22, so we've still.
You say only 22 is pretty good.
Well, we've done 22, but that's counting Tunisia and Morocco, which aren't in Europe. So
right.
20. So we've still got seven. I'm useless at maths. 27 to go.
Yeah.
So we're not even halfway there. That's
amazing. And Luke goes on to say, have you picked up any of the languages whilst you've been on your travels? Do you have a chance to do that?
A little bit. We try to learn the basics in each country, so at least a please, thank you, and a hello. I'm now a master of mime, so please don't take me on at charades. I even managed to buy a mosquito fly curtain in one shop, all through mime. So the woman said, oh, yeah, one of the easiest, that's fine. But, my husband speaks a bit of French. I speak a little bit of German that I learnt at school. We bumble by, and smiles and points. That's the one regret I think we have had of the trip, if we haven't learnt more of the languages.
Right.
So in Italy, we were there for 3 months, and we could understand so much more when we left than when we arrived, but we still couldn't really say that much more. It's one of those things, it's going to have to go on the list of things to do, we must learn more languages.
So in the place where you're staying, well, either now or in previous nights, what percentage of the people staying around you are British? I mean, that's going to vary tremendously, I guess, really, but is there a tendency for Brits to almost flock together when they're doing this sort of thing?
They do tend to congregate France, Spain and Portugal, it has to be said.
Right.
And we've met a few of the more adventurous ones in Italy and Greece, Hungary and places like that, but generally a lot of Brits you'll find in France, Spain and Portugal, and in the UK, a lot of them never even leave the UK, which is a shame, because I think the UK is one of the least motorhome-friendly countries there is.
Right.
You come abroad, and there's places like this, especially dedicated for motorhomes, and there's so much more, there's not height barriers on car parks, there's so much more welcoming to motorhomes.
Can you spot the Brits from 1,000 paces?
A little bit, yeah, usually. Just we tend to go on registration plates, which has thrown us a couple of times. We were parked next to a couple and we started speaking French to them, and they were like, "Oh, we're from Bolton." And we're like, "What? We live in France now. It's registered in France, but we're from Bolton." Okay. But, and you tend to find that if you're in a place where there aren't that many Brits, if you spot one, you go and talk to them. In fact, if you're in where we've just come through now, if you spot another motorhome, you go and talk to them, because there's been so few.
Yes, I bet.
I think we saw one other one in the Ukraine.
Now, if people want to follow you doing this, then it's ourtour.co.uk. That's the blog that you've been putting together, right?
Yes, yeah, so we put daily updates on where we are and what we've been up to, and then there's all sorts of videos on our YouTube channel and bits of information about anyone who's wanting to do something like this, guides to motorhoming and the countries we've visited and stuff like that.
So it's really multimedia. You've got YouTube on the go as well. And how easy is that to do when you're travelling?
It tends to wait until we've got some free Wi-Fi somewhere, and then we just upload the videos. So it's, the blog itself, we've got a contract on our phone which gives us a little bit of data, which is enough to update it every day.
Mm.
And then the videos go up later.
And you've written a book as well whilst you've been on tour, haven't you?
Yeah, when we got back from Morocco, Morocco was the first Muslim country that we visited, and it was such a shock. You were talking earlier about if we ever felt threatened. I think arriving in Morocco, we both felt quite threatened. There's people sitting at the side of the road, and we're like, what are they doing? Are they just waiting to lynch us if we stop, or what's happening? But it turns out they're just waiting for a bus or a car to pull over and give them a lift. And when we first arrived in Morocco, we felt very threatened. By the time we left, we loved the place. And we wrote a book on sort of our story of our time travelling through Morocco. And we wrote that while we were travelling last year, and then published it just around Christmas time. It's called A Monkey Ate My Breakfast, Motorhome Adventures in Morocco.
Did that happen?
It did, yes. Well, we technically fed the monkey my breakfast, which was a banana in my backpack, but yeah,
okay.
he was eating it.
Julie, it's an absolute pleasure to catch up with you again. It has been a huge amount of time. Can we do it again in a couple of months? Would that be all right?
We can, but I'll be back in the UK.
Oh, I didn't realise.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
How's that going to be adjusting to life back in the UK? not driving
it's
around.
It's going to be tricky, but hey, it's going to be another challenge. Why not?
You're going to be sleeping in the motorhome, aren't you?
For a little while, yes. And we're also stopping at friends and families and places like that, and then we'll find ourselves somewhere to live.
I hadn't realised it was coming to a close quite that soon. Well, and so where are you off to next? Do you know? Are you going to stay put in Germany for a little while?
We're in Berlin for the next few days, and we're going to travel through Germany and over to see some friends in France, and then start winding our way back up the French coast to home. We're due for another MOT, I think, on the motorhome.
Okay, we'll catch up with you when you're back in that case. Julie, thank you very much indeed. And thanks for staying up as well, because it must be now 5 to 2 in the morning there, isn't it?
It is, and it's 26 degrees. It's too hot. I believe you're having similar weather over there.
Yeah, have you got aircon?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I'll open the windows as soon as we finish. I don't want to disturb the neighbours.
Oh, I better let you go. Julie, thank you very, very much indeed. It's good to talk to you.
You're welcome, Dean. Good to speak to you.
Take care.
Bye.
I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy, I'll be your hope.